Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We continue our General Assembly preview this morning. Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves is here. Bryce, good to have you here this morning.
It's great to be here on this cold, winter, chilly day.
You know, I got up this morning and coming in the winter and on such a snowy day, and I thought, there's one person, an Army Ranger, is not going to let this get in their way.
Well, I was going to be here regardless if I had to come last night and stay in the parking lot, but I'd be here. I don't ever miss this because I love coming before we go to session.
Yeah, we do this every year, and I don't even know how many years. Is this what, six now?
Six years now of
doing this, and boy, it's going to be a different session. You've got a new governor. And for as long as you've been down there, the House has always been kind of the buffer for everything for conservative causes anyway.
Right.
And that certainly has changed quickly.
Well, there's going to be a new sheriff in town one way or another. And the House is finally going to learn what it's like to have to get to negotiate and have to work across the aisle a little bit more. You know, in the Senate, when I first got there, I took us to 2020, and the Republicans, for the second time since Reconstruction of the Civil War, took the majority. And so we've learned to have to deal fairly, like spoiled children with parents, right? So the Senate has been functioning like that since I've been there the last 6 years, and now the House is going to be faced with that as well. But, you know, speaking of the House, I don't know if a lot of the listeners know this. Ted and you and I talked about it briefly this morning, but I would just ask the listeners today to keep Bill and Ceci Howe. Speaker Howe, yep, suffered some medical conditions that were life-threatening, and he's in ICU still, but we're praying for his full recovery. What a great man of God and of service to the Commonwealth all these years as Speaker of the House. And so I'd ask your listeners just to keep Bill and Ceci in your prayers. They're positive. Their outlook is good, but you know, he's not out of the woods. So
it's a scary thing. And when I saw that yesterday, I thought that this is in he's been such a pillar in our community.
Absolutely.
And in the state.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of things happened under his leadership, and we couldn't have gotten there. A lot of the transportation issues we've seen and just moving the Commonwealth forward and keeping us fiscally sound and into a balanced budget each year, you know. So he's been fantastic, and we wish him well, but we got to keep him in our thoughts and prayers.
Well, and you know him in a unique way. I mean, you and him go to church together at Spotswood.
Yeah, we sure do. And he told me before I ran for the Senate all those years ago, why don't you come to the House? You'll have more fun. And, you know, some days I think he was probably right, but I don't know if I want to be in the House today. It's going to be fireworks. I think some of the newer members, I this is hearsay, but they I don't know that they quite grasp the magnitude of the job to which they just got elected. Some of them are talking about, well, do I have to be there the first day? I have other appointments to do. And some are like, well, I have to go, you know, rightfully so, I guess, pick up kids at a certain time and all this stuff. And I don't know that they understand it. There's none of that. So I think the Democrat minority leader, Delegate Toscano, sent out a pretty blunt email about you got to watch when you go to the bathroom and you got to be there. And if we got to wheel you in on a bring in on a wheelchair, we're going to do whatever it takes to keep you in the chamber. So it'll be fireworks. We'll be watching from the Senate.
Yeah, no, and like you say, that the Senate's been like that since you've been there. It's been on issues, it makes for some interesting debate and also votes on issues.
Well, you know, I think my personal opinion is we have stayed off Medicaid expansion since it came out, and the states that expanded Medicaid have run themselves into a deficit rut. And so we've learned that and we've avoided that. But I think with the conditions where they are today, I think there's a good probability that Medicaid expansion will come through. That would be devastating to our budget. It's 22% and growing. And I don't know how we backfill for that. And so, you know, between schools and all the other things, it's going to be difficult. So there'll be some issues that'll come through where I think the Senate will have to be the backstop now on some of this stuff and try to get us to where we need to be. But I'm confident. I still have a lot of colleagues in the House that feel good of where they are, and they'll rise to the occasion.
You mentioned some of the new members in the House and trying to figure out. I remember when you were first elected. I remember seeing you during the session. I think it was you came back for an event, and I remember talking to you and you saying, you know, it moves fast, and there is some learning to it.
Oh my gosh, the learning curve is steep, and you've got to be able to fasten your mouth around a fire hose and just drink as much as you can. And you know, last year in the short session, 45 days, we heard 2,997 bills. And, you know, this is a 60-day session with a budget, and I don't even know all the bills that are filed. I haven't finished filing all my legislation. I think I'm carrying 35 to 40 pieces of legislation. And I often say, is there that much that's broken? I got to carry that much. but it's going to be an experience. We're in a new building. The building's built differently. So there's just going to be a lot of moving parts. So calamity will reign for the first few days. The good news is no one's left in the Senate, so the Senate will be stable.
I'd forgotten about that. The General Assembly building is being torn down, and your new home is going to be the home for a while.
Pocahontas building. Yeah, they're saying 4 years. I think it's probably more going to be like 5 or 6. But you know, it's the old Attorney General building just down, so it's not too far. But we're looking forward to it. I've got some key legislation I'm trying to carry this year that came about as I learned about it through my statewide run for lieutenant governor in the primary this last 15 months. And some things I don't think were prevalent before, like how to fix some of the heroin epidemic. And I wouldn't have been able to come up with these ideas unless I'd crisscrossed 142,000 miles throughout the state. So.
We'll talk about some of your legislation as we go along this morning. But before we take a break, I was going to ask you: do you go into this session with just with a kind of a different perspective on things because you've done so much, you've met so many people, and seen so many parts of the state.
You know, Ted, I'm more energized and probably more laser focused, a lot more mature. I think now, going into my sixth year in the Senate. But especially with the experience of having run statewide and seeing the different regions and how the issues affect those folks and then finding the deficiencies. I'm a lot more focused. You know, I had a great learning experience about a year and a half, 2 years ago, working with Governor McAuliffe on an issue that was a firecracker issue, which was guns and the right to carry concealed, and the Attorney General ruling that we were going to lose those rights. And then, you know, 420,000 Virginians were doing it, and getting to the table and negotiating a compromise that worked out well for everyone with this governor. And that taught me a lot. I mean, it taught me a lot of how to actually get the right things done for the people we represent.
No, you did. You pulled that off because there was great concern by a lot of people about that legislation.
Sure.
You went across the aisle and worked with the governor.
Well, and we have the scars to prove it, too. And it's amazing to me the amount of visceral people out there that don't want you working with the other side and yet are willing to sacrifice a constitutional right to something for political gain. And to me, that's just wrong. And we got it done. And so I try to focus on the issues that matter most to the people I represent and that try not to focus on the issues that just get people tied up in a knot, you know?
Well, I was going to say to you when you said you were energized that you are. I was off air. I was going to say to you, you have more energy than any of the other five times we've done this.
Well, I'll tell you, we were talking briefly for your listeners when I came in. I'm down 23 pounds. I have a lot more energy. I found out the other thing I found out running statewide through some things that I had severe sleep apnea. And I didn't know how long I've had it, but I had it long enough that it was causing me some health issues, and I finally got it fixed. So now I sleep. It's
okay.
Amazing.
Now
sleep does wonders.
You look great. You've got energy, and you know it's good. I look forward because I watch most afternoons the the House and Senate stream, and I'll look forward to having you.
Well, there'll probably be some more times that I'll stand up this time and going forward and giving some speeches. It's amazing the clarity of thought you have when you actually get rest. And,
yeah.
And I hadn't really rested in I don't know how long, and I've been catching up, so it's wonderful.
State Senator Bryce Reeves here this morning. Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves. We're previewing the General Assembly. We will jump into some issues when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves with us this morning as we preview the General Assembly. It starts Wednesday in Richmond. It's a budget year, so this is a longer session.
60 days.
I guess there's about $100 million shortfall right now.
Yeah, as best as we can tell, that's about right.
Right, and so that there have been bigger ones, but I mean, still, there's going to be some cuts, and there's always things that come up during the session and things you'd like to fund.
Sure, and you know that's been one of the things that I've been looking at is how do we find monies that are out there to address some of the big issues? Because if you take it, I'd always learned from the great Walter Stosch, who retired 2 years ago as chairman, been there forever, was a mentor, but he was chairman of the Senate Finance. If you ask for something, you got to find the money first. And so I'd always kind of looked at things, and you know, I think we had talked at one time about my park service bills and budget amendments where, you know, I read the budget. I actually go through line by line and flag it and find out all these things, because they always try to sneak stuff in. And I remember looking at the Park Service budget, and they wanted $1.5 million to put Wi-Fi in state parks. And I was like, well, really? Like, deer need blackberries or, you know, whatever. But I just didn't think that was the role of government when we got teachers shortages and everything else. And so, you know, we'll go back through it and we'll be budget hawks. And I'm proud to tell you that the Park Service has that back in there this year. And I'll probably be trying to rip that out again. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It's a give and take. And, you know, we have some what I call high priority issues that we need to resolve. And I think we'll get there. You know, it's always everybody loves the taste of grilled sausage, right? It's great when you slice into it. But really, nobody likes to look at how sausage is made. And that's, you know, we'll be in the sausage making business next week. So
it'll
be fun.
And I guess we mentioned in the last segment the whole Medicare expansion.
Medicaid expansion
is going to be a big issue. And like you say, there are states that have done it, and they're having problems, and you hate to see perhaps that could be the case in Virginia.
Well, and I'm afraid we're going to go there. And with the tax bill that the Congress has passed, no longer requiring the mandate for Obamacare, that's going to have some implications. We do need to solve medical care issues in Virginia. You know, Anthem pulled out, and I represent all the way down to Albemarle County. And I had a constituent who makes about $125,000 a year. And he showed me he couldn't find insurance because Anthem was coming back in, and the way they did their sub-tiers by zip codes and everything else. He's like, look, my family of four, they're looking at $4,800 a month premium with a $7,800 deductible. How am I supposed to have insurance for that?
Yeah.
There's just no way. And so, you know, and it's not necessarily at the state level because we don't have that ability to do it, but Congress needs to be encouraged to get off their duff and work on this health issue. You know, Republicans, in my opinion, have let down the American people. For 7 years, they had an opportunity to put a plan together, Ted, and say, hey, look, here's a better plan, or at least the old plan with tweaks, and we couldn't get repeal and replace done. And to me, I think that's a great failure. I think that'll be the bags that they'll have to carry in 2018 on. I mean, I think it's great they did the tax bill. And, you know, we'll still work through that to see where we are on that. But hundreds of thousands of Americans are trying to figure out how to just make a living month to month, paycheck to paycheck. And then, God forbid, their health changes. And then what do they do? And, you know, it's just difficult. And we've got to find those answers, and we've got to think outside the box.
Well, and like you say, and especially if Medicaid expansion goes through, and all of a sudden the state's dealing with much bigger deficits.
Well, you know, the left will tell you, well, it's our money and we're getting it back, so it's free money, and they fund 100% and it goes down to 90. It's when we go down to that 90 and that extra 10%, I mean, you know, where do we find all these monies?
Yeah.
And who has to sacrifice? We're already short 1,000 teachers in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We're losing law enforcement left and right. You know, those are primary functions of our government, and it's going to be a challenge, and we're going to have to do that. You know, we talked in the first segment a little bit about some of the bills. One of the things that I'm really going to focus on this session is the heroin epidemic. And I think, you know, having been an undercover narcotics detective, I think I have a pretty good idea about what this is and the addiction and everything else. So I'm going to do some things that I think will radically think outside the box. It's going to take some money. We're not going to jail our way out of this situation. And not every addict needs to be jailed. They need treatment. And how do we get them that treatment? And when they don't have insurance, right?
Yeah.
And so I think I have a solution matrix for that, and it's going to take some heavy lifting. And I think that's the hardest challenge for me going into session now, is having gone through a major issue, trying to negotiate and broker and do all that sort of stuff in 60 days with some major topics is tough, because I've like I said, you know, I'm carrying probably 35 to 40 bills, and all those bills matter to other people or constituents who have brought them to me. But, you know, I have to proportionalize out how much effort I put on certain things. And I think some of my major key issues are going to be critical, especially moving forward. You know, our threat posture in the Commonwealth is going to be changing with the posture of the United States and Korea. And our National Guard plays a huge role in that. In fact, we have a deployment today for some of our folks that are going to be deploying this morning, actually at 8 a.m. down in Chesterfield. So we've sent about 18,000 troops forward in the theater. And if things hold true compared to what General Mattis has said, we need to figure out who's going to be our guard when the guard gets activated. So there are a lot of issues that we deal with, and some of that stuff falls on my shoulders, and I've got to get it done.
Well, and I was going to say, you're one that just because with your law enforcement and military background,
right,
are involved in these kind of issues, understand them, and that there aren't many of you in the General Assembly left that have that kind of background.
No, you're right. I serve on the Virginia Military Advisory Council, which is the advisory council to the governor, and it's made up of all the military commanders from all the bases and posts within the Commonwealth, all 33. I'm also on the Commission on Military Installation Defense Activities, which is the state level response to sequestration, BRAC, and all the other major defense issues. So yeah, we're the tip of the spear with that, with regard to the state level. And I'm also on the Secure Commonwealth panel. So those type of issues are very important. And so I have that to deal with. I'm also chairman of Social Services and Rehabilitation, which is all the alcohol beverage control, all the prisons and corrections, and then about 88 social service programs, both federal and state level, and the application of those programs, whether it be WIC or TANF or any of those. So we have a lot on our plate, and we're looking forward to going down there and doing business, but we're going to be more focused probably than ever been in the last 6 years.
So you're optimistic the legislation that you've got for the opioids, that's such a problem in all communities. It's not the we've had in the past some drug problems where it was kids or it was, you know, a certain segment.
Sure.
But boy, it's affecting so many people.
People are just dying.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to do a better job at saving Virginians from themselves. And, you know, the challenge is going to be funding. It's funding for addiction recovery.
Yeah.
And I've got a bill that's going to take some of the asset seizure monies we get from when we bust these dope dealers. and using that in the actual adult correction centers for addiction recovery programs like McShin's that Carl Leonard, Sheriff Leonard does in Chesterfield County, and try to replicate that model because he's been successful. You know, yeah. The best thing to do is steal somebody's great idea and make it keep working. And so if we can do that, we'll make great gains. We've got to work on the reporting side. We have jurisdictions that don't even report overdoses to law enforcement, and you know, an EMT might go out and hit a addict with an overdose victim with a Narcan, and once their vitals are good, then they're releasing back into the wild, and we've got to stop doing that as well, you know, yeah. Because they're just going to – recidivism is going to kill us. And so there's a lot of issues, and that's getting down into the weeds, but we've got a good grasp of it, and I think if we can articulate that, get law enforcement on board and the other various players within that, we'll make some progress.
The local – group that was continues to look at opioids when they I can't remember the name of the film they showed when they went around each locality, and it's just frightening to see the people involved.
Well, listen, all you have to do is look to Baltimore and the number of deaths they've had in Baltimore, and it's all due to drugs. And you know, a lot of the violence, same in Chicago and everything else, and a lot of people are like, well, it's because they don't have, you know, Chicago doesn't allow guns. And it's drugs, and it's money, and it's we've got a real problem, and especially with heroin, because it's non-discriminatory. It cuts across all socioeconomic classes, and you know, everybody's been affected by it. So we'll make gains there. It's just I hope it doesn't become political.
Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're previewing the General Assembly this morning with Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves. Session begins on Wednesday. This is a long session, so did you stay down there during session, Bryce?
I do. I made the mistake of trying to drive back and forth, and you know, we pull those long hours in road conditions like today,
yeah.
And probably not the smartest decision I made. So after I made a mistake and almost wrecked my car, I decided to stay down there. So yeah, I do. I move down there and come home on weekends.
Well, those of you who do it, I know you like it, and you're making a difference, but it is a sacrifice on your family.
So. Oh my gosh, it's incredible, and sacrifice. Ted, we've talked before offline about this, Ted. There's no way I could do this job without my great wife, Ann, and my kids. And, you know, it is. It's a sacrifice. You know, it's almost like a military deployment. You go away and come back, and, you know, my spouse has to do everything, you know. And I keep waiting because every year – we've talked about this. Every year something in my house, it's a major appliance, breaks.
Why
so
you're
I keep
Richmond.
Waiting. Yeah, while I'm there. So I think last year it was the washer, and then the dryer went. And then, you know, the year before that it was a dishwasher. So I keep waiting. Something's going to break, of course. But, you know, we'll get through it. We'll muddle through it.
But see, the interesting thing, because as I get to know all of you in the General Assembly, and because I can remember when you first started this, I mean, your kids were all much younger, and now your daughter's in at UVA?
Yeah, she's a second year at UVA, and she's loving it. She goes back here pretty soon, but she's done some, I hate to say it, she's doing some political stuff too. She interned up in Alexandria for a firm that helped Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch get it confirmed and stuff, and then she's looking at actually doing comms now, and looking at maybe a White House internship or working as an internship in Fox. So maybe I ought to tell her to come over here.
Okay,
hang
out for a day.
Yeah,
Senator Bryce Reeves here this morning. Before we move on to some other things, we were talking in the last segment about opioids and just kind of your background is with police. I know one of the things that you have to be concerned about, the state police have talked for years about how their numbers have just gotten to be critical,
right.
A big part of it is just the salaries that troopers get.
Well, we tied the loop on that last session, so we took care of the state police. The problem now is, now that we took care of them, we're losing sheriff deputies to the state police. So there's this nexus that kind of happened. So we're going to try to take care of the sheriffs this year. a little bit. I know there's some proposals out there to do that through some various means to try to take care of them. You know, the governor has put down his budget in which Governor-elect Northam has kind of agreed with. It does base it on the expansion of Medicaid and using some of those dollars and shifting dollars and some of those things. But as always, the Senate will come out with a version of the bill. The House will have their version, and then we begin that sausage-making process. But again, it comes down to who controls what chamber and what body and what gets out. And, you know, we haven't talked about this, but I think it's amazing. As close as my election was with Senator Houck 6 years ago with 86, we thought that was close.
Yeah.
Now we're down to even Steven, and they're going to be drawing a name out of the hat today.
Today, I know.
I mean, can you imagine spending that much time and effort only for a game of chance? Like, I am just blown away.
And that's how it's settled.
It's going to be settled by a draw. And I don't think it'll – I mean, there's going to be ramifications of that for a formal recount and some lawsuits and all this other stuff because of what's at stake. But Dave Yancey, Delegate Yancey, is a good friend of mine from the House, and we've been talking. And, you know, I'd rather either just win or lose. Like, to put it to chance would just – it's tough. But but it does go to show that every vote counts. I mean, literally every vote counts. So it's amazing.
Now, you often wonder on either side if there's somebody who didn't vote on election day for whatever reason and how guilty they feel today.
Yeah, sure. Right. I didn't go because it was cold and rainy. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. Some other things, I guess, that seem to come up and you deal with. We'll spend as much time on a lot of these as you want to, as little as much. Illegal immigration, I know, is something that the General Assembly continues to struggle with.
Well, we had talked about sanctuary cities. We've had bills come through under the McAuliffe administration. None of those bills will make it. I don't anticipate any of that stuff's going to make it under Northam. I do think Northam's probably more moderate than Terry is. Still, I don't – it's anybody's guess where we'll go on some of this stuff. You know, if it holds true to what's happened the last 4 years, I don't know that any of those bills are going to get out or get signed. So I think everything's going to be kind of blocking and tackling, you know, and then we'll get to the budget and we'll get some major policy things where we can find agreement, you know, on what I call the nonpartisan type issues. And then you know, that'll get done. So probably it's a good thing that we don't get a lot done going forward one way or the other too much, as long as we can balance the budget, make sure that we're funding those necessary elements of government that we need to fund.
What do you think of, because you keep hearing some other states keep talking about free community college, and it's nothing's ever free.
No, somebody's got to pay for it somewhere, right? Now, you know, I'm sure there's some bills that have been dropped for that. You know, I'm actually working on some legislation that would allow at least members of the National Guard from other states to get in-state tuition. If they're going to serve the Commonwealth and, you know, do what they do, and our National Guard today is more like an active duty force as much as they get deployed, we need to allow the Guard the ability to recruit new guardsmen. And we don't give them a lot. And so I'm pushing to allow maybe some members that are in West Virginia that serve in Virginia's Guard or North Carolina, you know, they live in another state but serve here, the opportunity to maybe get in-state tuition. I think we should do that years ago, but couldn't believe we weren't doing that. But so we'll work on those issues. But who knows? It could happen. I won't vote for it. You know, I think we need to look at one of the other issues we're looking at is when you have dual enrollment and these kids are in high school and they're busting their tails trying to get college credits while they can, so they're not putting the burden on their mom and dad. And then only to find out that some of the four-year universities, state universities, aren't accepting those credits. That's unacceptable. So there's a movement afoot to make sure that those are standardized credits that will transfer to every four-year university, so parents or these students that are paying their own way aren't losing those credit hours and those monies aren't going down the drain.
I know in the gun control issue, the governor had talked about favoring the one handgun a month or bringing that back. You think that goes anywhere?
I don't even know. I mean, They're going to drop every bill known to man, limit the amount of magazine capacities, one gun a month. I mean, I'm sure it's all going to come out and the floodgates will roll. I know there's going to be a movement and a bill to allow localities the the opportunity to limit Second Amendment with regards to rallies and certain public places. My concern with that is it's a slippery slope, and if some of these localities are super, super liberal, anti-gun, then you're going to lose that whole right altogether. And, you know, I was on the task force from Charlottesville that came out with part of that report, and we looked at all these situations, and you know, the report's out now, and you can go to the governor's website and see that, or the Secretary of Public Safety under Secretary Moran. And, you know, that was one of the issues that I always stood up on. And I'm like, guys, you know, it's not about the guns. There wasn't the guy who killed that young lady was driving a car.
Yeah.
And my bigger concern even in those issues was how did we get to that point? Where were the failures? How do we fix those failures? And where's the reporting and accountability, and who was in charge? And there was a systematic failure, in my opinion, on what happened there. And so we've kind of addressed some of that. I think you'll see legislation, though, that will try to take it all the way to the other side. So and who knows? I know Ralph Northam personally, and he's a hunter, and he hunts geese and outdoorsman and a sports guy. And I don't know. I don't know where it'll go. I don't think a lot of that stuff will make it out. It just depends on who controls what.
But that's the one thing. A lot of times we talk about these issues, and you always sort of had an idea of which way it might go.
Zero now. No. Zero. Like, it's a whole new world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the House could be, theoretically, they could be split 50-50 in a power share agreement. And there's going to be – There's no room for wiggle room. There's no room for wiggle room in the Senate. When we had some of the hard issues, there was a lot of whipping going on because we couldn't have any strays take a bad vote. They're going to be like that in the
Same
House.
Thing.
And you know, keeping 21 cats in a box is hard. Keeping 50, I can't imagine, you know? So I don't know, Ted. It's going to be fun to watch. I would tell all the listeners, tune in, because you're going to see some crazy stuff this year. I remember when Delegate Morrissey was coming into the General Assembly from work release from the jail.
Yeah.
And he brought – it was a gun control thing, and he brought that AK-47 on the floor.
Yes, I remember that.
And because the House allows props. The Senate doesn't allow props. But the guy didn't even know what he was doing with the gun, had his finger in the trigger thing. There was a magazine in it. Nobody knew if it was loaded. And some of my colleagues that were law enforcement were like, do we draw down on our colleague? Like, what is he doing? He's going to shoot somebody. But, you know, that's the madness of the House.
There's been a lot of talk about redistricting reform. And as we come back to – and it's always talked about nonpartisan redistrict reform. And I know a lot of people say – I mean, ultimately, there's nobody's nonpartisan.
That's right. Everybody's got a bias some way or another, right? And we can delegate that to another group of people who have the same biases and stuff to alleviate saying, I didn't make that decision. But the reality is, when you do redistricting, there's going to be bias. I do think we need to do something. I mean, I look at the district that I serve in.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're in a great case.
I'm a great example of what happens in gerrymandered district, being in the district by like three houses because they missed drawing me out. It needs to be fixed. It just doesn't make a lot of common sense, you know. But that's politics, you know. Everybody hates it, yet I the nation loves it. I've never seen our nation more visceral towards each other and divided at times, and just it's just craziness. And I'm still an American. I'm still a Virginian, and I'm a Republican. And there's people out there that hate my guts just because of that term. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. Some days I just try to serve.
No, but you know, we used to see it all in Washington, and it has seeped into Richmond, and now, I mean, you just take a look at the boards of supervisors in a couple of localities around here,
gosh.
And it's you just sometimes you just watch it with amazement.
You do. But you can't always watch, Ted, and you know this. You've got to – look, you can either sit in the stands or you can take the field. I'm one of those people who believes in taking the field because, to me, if you just sit in the stands, you don't get to say a lot of comments, right? It's kind of like if you don't vote, then don't complain. So, you know, we've got to engage. Look, we're responsible for the community and the environment to which we set. And I think there are some of my colleagues that, should maybe button their lips a little more and open their ears some. You know, as much as we might think we're 100% right all the time, we're not. And the best thing you can do is listen because people want to be heard. And, you know, I've always operated, and especially my new perspective, I've got this new kind of perspective after running statewide and bending across the whole state. I think by and large, Americans and Virginians, I call it the best principle. People want elected representatives who make their life better, make their life easier, and make their life safe. And I put a T on the end of it, and they need to trust you. And I call that, I try to put my best foot forward, and better, easier, safer, and trust. And if I do that, then I've done my job and the best job I can do. And so that's kind of been my mantra. And I believe the majority of Virginians and Americans want that. They want a better life. They want their easier life. They want government to work for them, not against them. You know, if you're a business owner like I am, the regulatory burdens are crazy, you know? Yeah. I mean, just to put up a swing set in your backyard, what do you have to go through, right? I mean, who, you know, poor guy's putting up a shed. He's like, you can't put that shit up unless, you know, all these things. And that's not the role of government. You know, we don't need to live in a nanny state. We need to do the things to protect us, of course, but by and large in general. But anyway, so those are the things. If we can do that in government and make us more efficient, then we're chipping away at it.
Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves here. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves, our special guest this morning, as we preview the upcoming General Assembly session. Couple of other things before we get out of here, Bryce. Transportation, obviously, around here is something we wish
huge.
There was
huge.
Yes, it is exactly. Do you see anything on the horizon with the assembly with roads?
Well, let me just that's a great segue in. I just met with Marcy over at VDOT, who's the supervisor for this area. Every year I get a brief from the different jurisdictions that I represent from the main supervisors that handle that for VDOT, the region supervisors. And I'm proud to say that through the work we've done in the General Assembly and the other elected members that represent our region, we have gotten dollars here now. And you're probably seeing that and yelling at me. In your cars with all the orange cones and everything that's happening on Route 3 and 95. But progress is taking place. So I'm excited about that. So probably for the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to be tied up 95% of the time on 95 in the major thoroughfares for ingress, egress to try to fix and alleviate some of these issues. We are going to start the northbound 95 crossing on Rappahannock here real soon. They're trying to finish that up and finish the bidding process. I've pushed for the 95 hot lanes that are coming south to forge the bridge to make it across. That's still in negotiation, so I'm really pushing that now.
I didn't even know that was even a deal. That was a possibility.
You know, I'm pretty adamant about they keep pushing the backups farther down. You know, they did that in Garrisonville, and then they built that 3-mile extension. Yeah. And now as we move down to 17, I'm like, all you're going to do is exacerbate the problem, and it's going to be north of the river, and that's that river is a major obstacle, and we have the northbound lanes funded to do the additional widening. We're working on trying to put together the packet to get the southbound lanes going. But I'd like to see this happen sooner, not keep pushing it off. But again, it's all about dollars. So we'll continue to push for that. But I'm glad of the progress that's happening. The orange cones are good. I would just tell everybody, be patient. Because they're still trying to figure out their traffic flows. I know sometimes when you get off Route 3 coming south, they don't have that feeder going into Central Park quite yet done, and that's starting to back up again. But it will be better than where it is now, and they're trying to time those lights and everything else. So give them a break at VDOT. These folks are working pretty hard to get this stuff done, and it's nice to see the dollars flowing.
Well, in that particular – that merge when you got off 95 and had to get over it was safe for anybody.
Well, you know, they're going to build a sound barrier wall over by the storage facility for the folks getting off to go to northbound. And they're just trying to rework a lot of these things. But you're just going to see a ton of construction going on. It's going to seem like we're never out of that mode. But we're moving forward on it, and that's the thing we needed to do was start moving forward. So, you know, either way, people are going to complain, but I would just say that we're trying to alleviate some of those issues.
I know when you're in session, you appreciate hearing from constituents.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they can follow you, and you've got whether it's social media or online.
Yeah, we try to keep up. We're going to try to go back to it. We couldn't do it last year. We were so busy in the short session, but I try to do a weekly update video, and we'll get that out. You know, there's we're in a different dynamic now again too on social media because you know, I have a political page. But the minute I start putting anything about the actual Senate business on there, now is it a political page or is it Senate business and is it FOIA-able and all these other things? So we're dealing with those dynamics well. But I'm not much of a tweeter like the president and any of that stuff. But if you need information, you can go to our website at BryceReeves.com. My Twitter feed is ReevesVA, and we'll try to keep everybody up. But the bigger thing is if you need to get a hold of us, feel free to call the office down in Richmond. My email is very simple. It's Bryce@BryceReeves.com, and you can look us up online. They if you just type in General Assembly and press a button, it'll go to us. We are in a new building. We'd love to see folks from home. I'm still trying to truly find my office half the time in that building, but I still don't know where the hearing rooms are. But we'd love to have it. It's just going to be a crazy time, new digs and everything. But yeah, we love it. We'd love to hear from folks and the issues that are bothering you. And I am short-staffed again. So we're looking for anybody who'd like to help us out, intern in the office or want some experience or just see what it's like. And I had a young lady who was 73 years old last year who is a lawyer who basically put her law practice on hiatus and came down and worked for us. And her name is Virginia Jordan, and she was just phenomenal. Huh. So if there's anyone out there like that that wants to do that with us, that could help because with 3,000-plus bills coming in this year, it makes it difficult to read them all.
But I know long nights for you when you're doing all that. Well, Bryce, thank you so much. Thank you
Ted,
for what you do
always.
At the General Assembly, and we'll get together with you after the session and unpack it all then. But
sounds good.
Good
Thanks
luck
for having me again
months.
This year. Just be careful out there on the roads. It wasn't too bad coming over here to the radio station this morning, but
take it a little slower today.
Take it a little slower. Absolutely.
Spotsylvania Senator Bryce Reeves. That is it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.